Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. And we are talking about the games of the year, so it should be a pretty fun little show. And actually, the game of the year is we're voting. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but since 1997, we have opened up the game of the year nominations to the people, so you can vote on them. It's not a bunch of stuffy editors in a room smoking cigars and drinking brandy and coming up with these things. It's you guys. So head over to GameIndustry.com and you can click on the voting and vote for what you think is the game of the year. And we've already had lots and lots of votes that chose the nominees, and so now these are the top nominees in each category. I'm joined by Billy White. Billy, reviewer expert, and also expert on certain of our consoles that we cover. Welcome to the lounge today.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So, so game of the year, always an exciting time, and so this year, pretty solid nominations. The reason I can tell that the nominations that the people chose were pretty solid is because our columnists Shella and Todd haven't bitched about them. So, so I think they're pretty good. Have you gotten a chance to look over the at any of the nominees that have been chosen?
Yeah, I've looked over the list. A lot of good picks.
Anything? Yeah, I thought so too. Anything stick out to you as like weird or cool or anything like that?
Honestly, nothing off the top of my head is really sticking out. I'm a little disappointed. I wasn't able to persuade our readers to vote Undertale enough, but it's their choice.
Yeah, no, Undertale, that looked like a fascinating game, and I saw that it has been, your review of it has been sitting on the most popular stories list for a while, and then it drops off, and then it comes back, so a lot of interest in it, if nothing else, so pretty cool. So it looked like an interesting game. So looking at the nominees, and there's actually a news story that Shella wrote about the nominees, which is pretty cool. The one thing that surprised me, and something that Shella, of course, pointed out immediately, was that I assumed that Fallout 4 would just dominate. And it may when it comes to the awards, but as far as the nominees, actually, Witcher 3 scored more nominations. So I thought that was surprising. I like The Witcher 3. I think it deserves to be there. I didn't know how well it would play against Fallout. I mean, was that surprising to you at all, Billy?
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that either. I just assumed Fallout 4 would stomp through the nominations and everything. And don't get me wrong, Witcher 3 is an amazing game. I actually did the review for it here at Gen, and I loved it. And I mean, it's just a little surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's crushing it. It's Fallout 4 got 5 nominations. Fallout 4 got nominations for Best Environment, and also Best RPG and a few others. The Witcher was up for Best RPG, so that'll be interesting to see who wins in that category. Also got Best Environment, which, I don't know, the way I look at environment, I think Fallout 4 had a better environment. It was certainly more open world. I mean, The Witcher 3 was kind of open world. It was fairly open world, but I still felt a little bit hemmed in by the environments in Witcher 3. They didn't quite make the jump to full open world, but it was pretty close, you know. Especially compared to, you've played 2 and 1, you know how those were set up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 3 is a major, major improvement.
Yeah, I was surprised. That studio, CD Projekt Red, they surprised a lot of people with Witcher 3. I mean, you know, I was a fan of Witcher 1 and 2, but there were things about it that I didn't like, you know, not being able to, you come to a small fence, it's like 1 foot off the ground, and you're stuck there, you can't jump over it,
yeah.
That type of thing. So it's nice to see that they kind of went open world with it, which was nice. So let's see. Let's just go over a couple of the categories. So we already opened it up and talked about role playing a little bit. So in the role playing game, we have Fallout 4, Shadowrun Hong Kong, Tales of Zestra, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and Wasteland 2 The Director's Cut, which was kind of the follow-on to Wasteland 2. They went back and said, there were a few mistakes in Wasteland 2, so here's the Director's Cut, which was kind of like a giant patch, but it did make the game better. So what do you think about that particular list? Any surprises on there for you?
Not really anything in the way of surprises. I kind of expected everything to be on there. Maybe Shadowrun, because I wasn't super familiar with it. I played it a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed Shadowrun. I think that's a lot of the PC gamers really got into that. I mean, it was, you know, it was on Steam and it wasn't that expensive. I think it was like, you know, $20 or something like that. So I liked Hong Kong. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it followed on because you know the Shadowrun series came out I believe last year, and then they had the Dragon expansion and so forth, and they were all pretty good. I mean, Shadowrun Hong Kong didn't really change the game too terribly much. They monkeyed with the system a little bit, but Shadowrun Hong Kong just had a really cool plot that you know you didn't see coming. There were a lot of twists and turns and stuff, and yeah, it was pretty cool. Tales of Zestra was the one I was surprised about. I didn't know much about it. I know our reviewer Michael Blaker reviewed it, and he was just enthralled by it. And I know that a lot of people really like that game. I mean, that was you know JRPG.
Yeah,
did you get a chance to look at that one? I know you like those type of games.
I haven't looked at Zestiria specifically yet. I'm looking to because it's the first Tales game that's actually gotten a PC release. And the cool thing about Tales games are ever since, like, oh gosh, I don't know how far back they've been doing this, but they allow two players. So whenever you go into their combat's action, you know, action RPG, run around and everything every time you go into a battle. So me and Aaliyah actually sit down and play through the Tales games together, and that should be a fun experience when we finally get to it. I'm glad to see it getting recognized, because Tales games don't really get noticed a lot in America. Like, they kind of just, they become cult classics, but they never, like, really jump up and get media attention a whole lot. At least it doesn't seem to me.
Oh, that's cool. And I know now to pronounce it Zestiria. So there we go.
Don't assume I'm right. I could be screwing it up.
that's funny. It'll be interesting. I think, you know, logically you would think that would be a battle between Witcher 3 and Fallout 4, but you know, like I say, we have a strong PC presence of gamers on Gen, so that could put Shadowrun up or I know Zestiria was the Tales game was really popular. I mean, when Michael did that review, it was kind of like your Undertale review. It stayed on the top review list. I think he even went back and updated it at some point, and still was pegging as one of the most popular. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. I'm probably the only person that's going to be voting for Wasteland 2, but anyway, we'll see. Who knows? I like that game. I'll probably vote for Witcher or Fallout, and I have not decided which one yet either, because I love them both. I love them both. As an RPG, I don't know. I mean, Fallout, I think, is the better game, but I think, in my mind, Witcher 3 might be a better role-playing game. So I don't know.
I can agree with that, because I feel like Fallout 4 shifted a lot towards better gunplay, mm-hmm. which makes mm-hmm. it feel less like an RPG than, say, Witcher 3 does.
Yeah, more gunplay, more, at least the way I played it, much more, you know, playing house. You know, I would spend all night, and I'm realizing, you know, all I've done is build a skyscraper in Sanctuary. That's all I did. It took me like 5 hours, you know, and it's a cool skyscraper, and it's got cool art and everywhere.
Yeah.
And the recent update, I don't know if you've noticed the new update that just came out for Fallout adds new pictures and rugs and all kinds of new stuff that you can decorate your houses with.
Huh. No, I hadn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to go into the editor, and you'll have a lot more choices now. It's pretty funny.
Huh.
So, all right, we'll check that out. All right, let's move on a little bit. You know, family friendly game. That was an interesting one. That's a title that's important to our. That's a category that's important to our readers because we have a lot of family readers, a lot of parents that come in to find out if games are appropriate for their kids and stuff. I don't know. All those look pretty cool to me. But I'm not going to comment on that. I'll let the parents pick which ones they thought were the best on that area. But shooter was a big category this year, as it is every year. So we have in the shooter category, we have Primal Carnage Extinction. We have Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. We have Call of Duty Black Ops 3. We have Just Cause 3, and a lot of threes there. And Halo 5 Guardians. Did you get to play any of those? I know shooters used to be like the biggest thing in gaming, and now it's still popular, but it's not as popular as it once was.
Yeah, I actually haven't played any of those. Metal Gear Solid 5 and Just Cause 3 are definitely on my list to pick up, but I haven't been playing any shooters really.
Yeah, you would think the years of the Call of Duty domination is kind of over, but I mean, it still remains incredibly popular with folks.
Goodness,
so, yeah, I don't know. My thoughts are that I think that Just Cause 3 is going to take it. I think Just Cause 3, it came in at the end of the year, and it's just kind of insane the amount of stuff you can do. I mean, Marie Flanagan did the review for it, and she's not really a shooter gamer, but she loved it. I mean, she's like, you drive a car out the back of an airplane, and then you climb up onto the roof of the car, and you're shooting helicopters down from the roof of the car with a machine gun while you're falling to the earth. I mean, it's insane the stuff you do in this game. And the physics, apparently.
It's just crazy fun. It's like 2. 2 was a lot of the same. I loved Just Cause 2. I put like over 100 hours into that game. I could see 3 taking it. I can agree on that.
That's cool. Well, I mean, this is, my opinion for what it's worth. I think that was the cleverest of the ones that, if you ask me. So if you vote based on the cleverness of your shooter, I guess. I don't know. For strategy, strategy was another one. It was kind of all over the map. We have Grey Goo, Sid Meier's Starships, Active Aggression, The Red Solstice, and Spacehawk Ascension. A lot of those were reviewed by Vincent. I don't know if you got a chance to look at any of the strategy games. You're not really too much of a strategy gamer, are you, Billy?
I jump in every once in a while. I actually did a review for Grey Goo, and I really liked it, mainly because it felt like the old Red Alert series, the old Command & Conquer Red Alert series. It was a lot closer to that than more modern ones are with, like, the StarCraft, because they play completely differently. And I enjoy that Red Alert style, the Command & Conquer style, more. So the fact that Grey Goo was really close to that style helped me, like, just fall into it. It felt like I was returning to an old friend rather than, learning a new system.
That's pretty cool. And, I mean, the Red Alert series, that was like the Call of Duty of its day. I mean, that was the one that dominated everything for like a long time. Everybody loved that. And I think the developers at some point that did Grey Goo said that they were inspired by that. So it makes sense that it kind of feels that way to you.
Yeah, that does make sense.
This is one that I think is interesting, and one that I know you can comment on, is that's the environment. Now, the way that we do environment, it can mean visually stunning, so just, like, insanely beautiful, like, how is this even possible? Or it can just mean just an overall environment where everything kind of fits together and you enjoy being in the world. And the five for that are Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask 3D, Star Wars Battlefront, Elite Dangerous, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and Fallout 4. I mean, just crazy the amount of powerhouses that are in that. Which of those do you think would pique your interest for environment most?
I've got to say Fallout 4 does, because it feels more like a completed world than any of the other ones do. Like, when you're running around Fallout, things are happening around you that feel like they're just happening because the world is really going on around you, and I think that plays a lot into the environment and how you look at it, whereas like a lot of the other ones, they just don't have that same appeal, and that's my opinion on it, at least.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, if I'm looking at just visually stunningness, I mean, Star Wars Battlefront comes to the forefront because, I mean, you just look at that. I mean, they had it playing in a loop in like the local Walmart store, and there were just people just standing there just watching the demo because it just looks so freaking ridiculous. But unfortunately for me as a gamer, then you get beyond that incredible beautifulness, and it's just like the game kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So it's like Oh, it's almost like, I don't know. It's like being able to see something really cool in the window, but then, you know, when you actually get it home, it's not that great. So I don't know if that would taint me or not. It'd be cool if we had, like, Star Wars Battlefront graphics on a game like Fallout 4, although I think our consoles would probably blow up if it tried to render something like that. I don't know. So I'll be interested to see how that one happens. Let's see. Let's do a quick fun category. In the characters category, we have a whole bunch of. It's all over the map. I just wanted to see if there was anything that stood out from you. We have Geralt from The Witcher 3. We have Chloe Price from Life is Strange. We have Link from The Legend of Zelda. We have Critter from Book of Unwritten Tales, and we have Katrina from The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing. So those are the ones that got the top marks. Did you experience any of these characters? Did you like any of them?
I want to just like throw this out here. I'm a really big Zelda fan, but it always amazes me whenever I see Link shoot to the top of list of like best character and stuff like that, because he's just a representation of the player. He has like almost no personality to himself whatsoever. So that's just so weird to see people vote him up. That's a small rant from me there.
So I mean, I've never played a Zelda game other than the one that was back on the original Nintendo. So, and obviously there was no real characterization on that. Do you think that people are seeing themselves in Zelda or in Link, and so that's why they're voting him up? I mean, it's weird. So Link is kind of like the character from Fallout, then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, he's a lot closer to that. Like, he has his own like little quirks about him sometimes, like the Wind Waker games that like, you know, encompass that whole series. That Link is very animated and very, you know, expressive with how he like acts and stuff like that, and you can see that he is his own character. But for the most part, all the other Links are typically just, here's this guy who has no parents and has no backstory, and go ahead and just imagine your face on his, except it's prettier than what you look like in real life. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, wow. All right, so what are you thinking for character, then?
I'd have to go with Geralt, because while playing Witcher 1 and 2... this last year, I got the experience that, especially in 1, he's not really a very interesting character at all. And then in 2, he gets a little better. But then in 3, they really just, like, home run swing and, like, really make Geralt this character that I came to actually like. Whereas before, I was always just like, yeah, I'm playing as Geralt, the douchebag.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it kind of reminds me of a little bit about, you know, when you have a character like the Watch Dogs character is the guy I'm trying to think of, Adrian Pierce, I think his name was. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the guy was just an a-hole. And I mean, it's like, I'm playing this guy and I didn't really like him, you know? So, and Geralt was kind of like that before, you know? He's kind of like an adventurer, but he's sort of a barbarian, and then he kind of doesn't like the world, and I don't know. But in 3, you're right. He was like a real person. He just didn't go around to try to collect cards of pretty girls that he slept with. You know, he seemed like a real person. And I actually got to the point where, you know, you had the choice to pick, you know, who you wanted to romance with, you know. And I actually, that was actually a hard decision for me, you know, because I was like, well, I kind of like this girl, and this girl's nice, but sometimes she's a bitch, so I don't know, you know. And I, you know, it was hard. So that was, he did stand out for me. I'm going to vote for Critter from Book of Unwritten Tales, too, because I always think the Muppet should win the category. So, but anyway. Let's see. Do you want to take a crack at the Nintendo Wii U category? I know you're a big Nintendo guy, so I'll give you a chance. So the ones we have up there are Splatoon, Xenoblade Chronicles X, Yoshi's Woolly World, Skylanders Superchargers, and Super Mario Maker, which I believe was a game where you could actually make your own Mario game, which looked interesting. But any of those stand out to you as the what you would pick for the Wii U best game?
Yeah, definitely. And it's not to say that like any of the other ones are necessarily like bad games, though I have like no experience with Skylanders. I've never touched the series. It's never appealed to me. But Xenoblade Chronicles X definitely sticks out to me as the game that's just, it's really out there, because it has this, like, huge, giant world to explore. Like, there's so many different ways to play, because you join different factions. Like, for example, Aaliyah plays this as well, and she's all about, like, jumping around and, like, solving every little person, because you're in this town, and she likes to run around and solve every little person's problems. Like, go in and talk to them and learn all the characters. Me, I just kind of say, screw you guys, and I run around in the wild all the time, because it has these huge, huge, expansive environments that you can explore, and until you get scales later in the game that allow you to fly around, you're on foot. And I really enjoy just running around on foot and adventuring through this world and seeing all of this, like, all these different animals. There'll be, like, level 90-some creatures running around with, like, level 5 creatures, and they'll be right near your city when you're starting out as, like, a level 5, so you've got to actively, like, be aware of your environment. It's really cool.
That's pretty neat. And then one of the selling points of the Xenoblade Chronicles is then you're able to fly around the world too. So I assume that makes avoiding the giant creatures much easier.
yeah, it does. There are flying creatures, but for the most part, you can avoid a lot of things if you're just flying around.
That's cool. Well, so Xenoblade gets your vote on that, and well deserved. I'll comment on the PlayStation 4 game of the year. So we have Bloodborne, Fallout 4, The Order 1886, Until Dawn, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. I was surprised to see The Order up there, because, you know, it wasn't that great of a game, I didn't think. It was okay, but it was, you know, it was typical. It reminded me the most of Resistance, which was a PlayStation 4 launch title, I believe. It was almost an on-rails shooter, so I don't know why people liked it. It had a neat environment, but it was also short, which I don't like short games. So, obviously we've talked about Fallout 4. We've talked about The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt. Both those deserve to be there. Bloodborne is the one that I find the most interesting, because it is a beautifully crafted game. I absolutely freaking hate it. I think it's one of the worst games ever created, because I suck at it. You know, it's all about, you know, grinding through these other creatures to get to these boss creatures, which are, like, impossible to kill. I mean, literally, the first boss, I think I went up against him over 30 times, and he killed me every time. And that's kind of like almost like a mechanic of the game. It's like, oh, you're going to get killed like 30 times until you figure out that when he raises his left foot, you have to roll under him and stick him in the butt, you know, and then you have to do that 38 times, and eventually he'll die. I'm like, this is just stupid.
So
I finally killed the first
Dark Souls.
No. I think games first and foremost need to be fun to play. I'm sorry, you know, and maybe it's because I'm an old guy now. You know, I don't have time to spend a week trying to figure out how to kill one boss. I just don't, you know. So I don't like Bloodborne, but I can see why people love it, and I can see why people appreciate it. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying it's not the game for me, and it's certainly not the game I would vote for. It's nice to see a well-crafted PlayStation 4 exclusive title, though, so that's cool. The one that I think has no chance of winning, but which I might vote for, would be Until Dawn, which was a really cool adventure game. You're a bunch of kids, and you're stuck in a cabin, and they do some really neat stuff. My wife actually plays it, and I sit with her while she plays, because it's so scary she can't play it by herself. And they do some really neat stuff, like they break the third wall. You go through an adventure, and then it breaks the third wall, and you're sitting in a psychiatrist's office. And the psychiatrist asks you questions like, are you more afraid of spiders or rats? And, you know, does a scarecrow scare you more, or a clown? You know, and you answer these questions as if you're, you know, in a therapy session, and he's trying to help you. But what they're really doing is they're sneak all that stuff into the game. So all the stuff that you tell them you're petrified of, you're going to experience at some point in the game, which is, I thought, was incredibly clever. And surprised the hell out of my wife. I knew what they were doing, but when my wife started to experience the stuff that she said she was afraid of, she was like, she had that aha moment where she was like, oh my God, they're using all my stuff against me. I'm like, yeah, that's what they do. So I thought Until Dawn was pretty clever. You know, I'm I'm pretty sure Fallout 4 is going to take that category, although, like we discussed, it might be The Witcher. I don't know. But I think Until Dawn deserves it, and it'll get my vote. Neither one of us plays the Xbox too much, and Todd isn't here, but on the Xbox we have Dying Light, Fallout 4, Forza Motorsport, Halo 5, and The Witcher 3, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I don't really know too much about you know, those categories. I know the Xbox players really like Halo 5 Guardians, so maybe that one will be enough to take over Fallout. I think Todd has mostly played Fallout, but I know he did play Guardians briefly, long enough to do the review anyway. And then on the PC, we have Fallout 4, Elite Dangerous, Wasteland 2, Witcher 3, and Wolfenstein, the Old Blood. Billy, is there anything there that's going to tempt you from not voting for Fallout 4 on the PC?
honestly, probably not. I mean, like we've already established, Witcher 3 is a strong contender, but... I don't see anything. Honestly, I don't even know what Elite Dangerous is.
Elite Dangerous is that space game. It's an open world, like a privateer type of title, and it exists on both the PC and the Xbox One, and I believe it's cross-play, so if you're on the PC, I guess you can run into Xbox players and stuff. It looks beautiful, and it got really good reviews, and Todd liked it, so I don't know, maybe something you should check out if you like that kind of, you know.
I am a fan of sci-fi. I don't know how it just flew under my radar, but it did.
Oh, man. Well, check it out. Check it out. Check it out before you vote. How's that? All right. Well, those are the categories, guys and gals listening. And like we say, it's totally up to you. You know, vote. Go to GamersRew.com. Cast your vote. We'll probably end the nominations at the end of March, so you have a little bit of time left. And then we'll announce the winners, and always an exciting time. So Billy, overall, you think that the fans did a pretty good time this year picking the nominees?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was too bad. Unfortunately, there just weren't a lot of exclusive games, it seems, that made it into the whole, you know, best titles anyway. But maybe that's just because there was a lack of exclusives this year.
Well, speaking as a PlayStation gamer, that was certainly the case. I mean, I was very disappointed with the exclusivity of the PlayStation 4. Almost all the games that I played on the PS4 that I enjoyed were cross-platform. You know, and I don't have a problem with things being cross-platform. If it's a good game, I think everyone should be able to play it. But at the same time, I think console players like to have that exclusivity so that they can say in their minds, okay, this is why I bought the PlayStation 4 and not the Xbox One, because of this game, or say, vice versa, you know. And, yep. You know, other than the Wii U, you know, which always has exclusive titles, there wasn't really a whole lot of exclusivity. I think this year, 2016, that's changing, and I've seen a lot of exclusivity announcements for both the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, but there wasn't really a lot in 2015.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, hopefully this year will be better. It's funny that you mentioned it. That's actually the exact reason I own a Wii U. I own a Wii U and a PC because that gives me access to the vast majority of games that are released. Like,
that's true.
That's just how I do it.
No, that makes sense, and especially with a lot of the Xbox One games now becoming cross-platform with the PC. That's almost like a thing now. So that gives you access to a lot of stuff, so smart stuff. All right, guys, well, we're out of time for today, so please vote. You know, you can't bitch about it if you don't vote. Well, you can, but, you know, you probably should vote if you're going to complain about it later on. And I'm not just talking to Todd. I'm talking to everybody. So it's totally up to you. All right, guys. We'll see you next time right here at the Gin Lounge. The next Gin Lounge show will probably be the big reveal. So tune in to see which games you guys pick for Game of the Year. And may the best games win. Take care, everyone. Thank you.